Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Yes, welcome to the Monday Scrum. We've got no Benji Marshall, no Emma Lawrence today. They've all had big magic round weekends. But we've still got the greatest journalist in the NRL, Brent Reid. Reedy, how are you, mate?
Charlie, good man. Stepping into the hot seat.
I have, mate.
Can control this segment and this bloke beside me.
I know. Welcome in. Aaron Woods, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me. Stop it. Just big shoes to fill with Benji Marshall and Emma Lawrence not here at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Lots of pressure on us, Woodsy.
We'll be right. It's been a good magic round, so there's a fair bit to talk about.
What do you boys do then in Magic Round? Do you stay there the night after on Saturday? Or you come back on Saturday night? How does it work?
Yeah, look, Charlie, it would have been a better Saturday night if we had a won. So obviously we got beaten Golden Point, the second game, and it was a bit of a sorry shed after the game. We went straight back and tried to catch the second half of the Storm and Penrith game, and we were allowed to have a couple of beers back at the hotel, but no one went out. We just sort of stayed low, and yeah, it wasn't the best feeling.
Can't go to Revs or something like that.
Yeah, Revs, Prohibition, whatever it is up there. Yeah. And yeah, we had an early flight the next morning and, bit pretty sorrow and straight back to the family, mate.
Reedy was in good form, I think.
I'm looking forward to hitting my pillow. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some sleep.
He's had a massive weekend, have we, Reedy?
Well, it's amazing. I was talking to Buzz Rothfield this morning. I said, we should send every journo we've got up there for Magic Round because you just bump into people you haven't seen in a long time. And, you go to the bar and the hotel and you end up staying there till 1, 2 in the morning just catching up with people and catching up with agents and CEOs, and it's so good for your career, I reckon.
It's awesome for players. Like, I've been at four clubs and it was like a players reunion for me growing up there, because we stayed at the Pullman, which is connected to the Mercure, and we had the Roosters, the Sharks, the Tigers, Newcastle, over 3 or 4 days.
What about blokes you hate though, would you?
There's a corridor, and there's like at the reception, there's like a big oval, and you could go one way or the other. If you see someone you don't want to talk to, just go the other way.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Loved it. I had a great weekend.
You probably stayed at the Sofitel bar.
Sofitel, yeah.
Five star.
Melbourne.
Stop it.
South.
All the big dogs.
Tigers.
All the big dogs.
And Canterbury. That's where it was all happening with Canterbury.
But it is all happening, and that's where we're going to start. After only winning 5 games during his time at the Bulldogs, Trent Barrett has been sacked, stood down. We don't quite know yet, but we'll do this.
Yeah, well, Charlie, that's the big news of the day, isn't it? The fallout from the Bulldogs' loss at the weekend. The Dogs have put out a statement now saying that Trent Barrett resigned or quit last night, on Sunday night. I think the writing was on the wall for Baz regardless. I mean, those stories emerged sort of late as Sunday. We broke that news during the game that there were some meetings to be had on Monday about his future, and the writing was on the wall for him. So, he's obviously got to pay out of the club. It's sad for Trent because we know Trent is a good fellow, cracking bloke. But you've got to win football games. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And if you don't win, you lose your job.
And for them to sack him now, would they have someone up their sleeve straight away? Or,
well, I don't think it seems to have happened really quickly. Even though it feels like it's been brewing.
Well, it's only around 10, too. Yeah, really.
The end of it sort of felt like it came really suddenly.
Yeah.
It sort of escalated over the weekend after that game on Friday night, and they were pretty poor on Friday night, and it just sort of seemed to happen really quickly. So I don't think they do. They've got Dave Ferner there, who's been a head coach before, and pretty respected guy, and been around a lot of clubs, obviously over the years.
You also got Gus there to help him out as well.
You got Gus there to help out, and I'm not sure if they'll actively go and pursue an interim coach outside the club straight away, because you're looking at there's probably really only Flano maybe.
Yeah.
Paul Green.
Josh Henne.
Josh has obviously got a job at Cronulla, so you'd have to get him out of Cronulla, wouldn't you? So I'm saying guys who actually don't have gigs at the moment.
Yeah,
even Flanner's got a gig. I mean, he's
working for
us
as recruitment, so.
So, it's not, I don't know how easy it will be to get a coach at this point. So they may have to just look within. And as you said, Gus is there. Gus ran training anyway last week, didn't he? Or the week before?
Yeah.
And they won.
Brad Fittler's name's been tossed up. Is there any truth to that, or is that just a bit of a rumour?
Well, he is close to Gus, obviously. Freddie said in recent years that he would like to be an NRL coach again. I mean, he obviously had that stint at the Roosters, really successful early on. Things sort of went a bit pear-shaped after that. But, he's shown with New South Wales, Freddie, that he's a smart coach. He thinks a bit laterally. And as I said, he's got that great relationship with Gus. So
would he be willing to give up his nine and New South Wales deals
I suppose that's the question, hey? I mean, he's locked in with New South Wales too, so he would have to get out of that deal. I'm sure, you know, if he wanted the job, I don't think New South Wales would stand in his way. But they're a long way down the track. I mean, Origin's in I think they picked the team in 2 weeks, don't they?
Three weeks, I think it is.
So, I mean, a bit hard for him to pull himself out of Origin now.
And is Cameron Serraldo a guy that they'd have their eye on as well for next season?
I think they would love Cameron Serraldo. But whether Cameron Serraldo would love them back, that's the issue. You know, we saw with Fitzy, he waited till a good job came along.
Yeah.
And I think Cameron's cut from a similar cloth. I'm not sure whether he'd jump at that job.
So do you think the young coaches would go there straight away? Or is it a senior coach that would probably have to pick him up and get him out of the fight they're in at the moment?
Yeah. Well, aside from Flano and Greeny, there's obviously Cam Serraldo, Christian Wolfe, who's in England with St Helens. And again, I don't think Christian would be able to come straight away because he's locked in with St Helens.
Yep.
And I don't think he'd walk out in that deal. So I think whoever you get, they're not gonna have to walk in straight away. They'll come in at the end of the season. You add Reid Marnie, Viliami Kikau. I'm sure Gus hasn't finished massaging that roster. I reckon you're walking into a pretty good situation. I don't know about you. What do you think, Woodsy?
I reckon that's probably what they lack this year is a really, really decent nine. And I think Gus probably would have tried to do anything he could to get Reid Marnie this year. Mm. But obviously, with Hodgson going down at Canberra, you know, he was probably the one that was going to take a Marnie spot at Parra. That sort of fell through. So, and like you said, getting Viliami Kikau next year, their back row is going to be really good. It's just that spine. And, you know, you look at the real good sides, Melbourne, Penrith, they've got a real consistent spine and they dominate every week.
Well, they've got to find a fullback because sounds like Matt Duffy's going to Warrington. That's just if it's not a done deal, it's...
But then who's the other fullbacks on the market? That's...
Well, they've got Corey Allen, but again, he hasn't really had a shot there.
Every week.
There was some talk Josh Adokar were going to start at fullback this week, but now Trent's gone. I don't know whether that changes the idea there, but... You're right. There's not many fullbacks.
Scott Drinkwater. Is he off contract next year or the year after?
He's off contract in 12 months' time.
Okay,
he's a perfect one for them, Charlie. I reckon they need points. Mm. He's a player like probably more known for his tacking prowess. And, you know, sometimes you probably want to, you know, you're looking up there when you hear Toddy talk after the game, they want that controlling half, whereas they've got Chad Townsend now, whereas it gives the option of Drinkwater to score points in attack because he's got the calm half now.
He's sort of become their fullback now.
Hammers, he was injured and he was playing some really good footy. And if it releases the cap up there, don't forget they've got Leilua going there next year. So and they want to be able to keep Nenai and Lukey. He's a gun too. So
I think they've done Lukey a bit longer, but Nanai's only one year deal.
If you're watching the way he's playing, his price tag's going up.
Queenslander, Woodsy, yes.
A brutal industry though. Barrett, I'm pretty sure he was at a pub. I was reading, I think Hoops did an article for Fox Sports that Barrett was sitting in a pub at a wake.
And then the news came up quick though, Charlie. I think it's happened really fast. I think the plan was for...
But Gus said 2 weeks ago that long term, Barrett's going to be the man that gets...
They can sell it. They can see they've worked it well, right? Sell it that Trent resigned. Gus didn't push him.
Yeah, but I've also read, what's the members' stuff there? Like,
so how does that work? Directors get voted in every 2 years.
Yep.
So they have elections every 2 years. And those directors were getting rung up by fans or members.
And just abused.
Calling for Trent's head, basically.
So it's basically not just Gus's decision.
The board obviously has a say in it because they've got to approve a payout of it.
He cops a lot of flack, Gus, too. And
he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brings some on himself, though, occasionally, Gus.
Yeah, well, moving to the football then, boys. It is what it is, isn't it?
That's it.
Footy goes on, Charlie.
Footy goes on.
Quick in this
game. The game that just keeps delivering.
The Roosters got a massive win against Parramatta, 31-24. Do you watch the game, Woodsy?
Yeah, I love it, mate. I watch it. They were outstanding. You know, I thought from the first kickoff of the game when Hargraves took it up and he had two hit-ups that set. You know, when you know the big boys in the Roosters pack, because they love to play that real powerful style of game. And you know, one that really surprised me was Joseph Suaalii.
Oh,
he doesn't shy away from the real tough stuff.
He loves the physical stuff, doesn't he?
And as he goes into contact, like he sort of steps and goes harder.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stop him. I thought he was getting him on the front foot and giving a good platform for the forwards to play off.
Do you know him, Woodsy? Because you've got a mutual connection there.
No, I don't know him. Obviously, he's in the same management company that I'm at.
Yeah.
But I've just heard good raps from him for a while.
Yeah.
know, I think they spoke to us a couple of years ago when he was at Souths, and, yep. and I think Kings, he went to King's school. To Kings,
yeah.
And well, he went to the Kings with the other kid from Parramatta, the centre too.
Yeah,
mate, they've got a good little crop there. So
what about his try when he flew up like Israel Folau?
But he did it easy.
So good.
I can't remember the winger for Parramatta.
Hayes Perham.
Yeah. Paul Burke got a knee in the back of the head.
Specky.
Mate, it was an absolute specky, and he got down easy.
It was so effortless the way he did it, so controlled. Like,
I don't understand why they haven't been doing it more often.
Well, because they've got Tupou on the other week, so they can go wherever they want. He's 18, that kid. It's remarkable what he's doing. We spoke to him after the game. He's pretty modest.
But you know what? I like how the Roosters haven't just thrown him in there and say, do your best. They've looked after him. Last year, they could have just stuck with him, let him get, show him what NRL was like every week. But Robinson sort of just give him a couple games, come back, give him a couple games. And he looks like he's got so much out of it.
Yeah.
And he's just reading the game so well. And, for a young kid to do those play one, play two carries the way he does, incredible.
Yeah.
Well, on the other side, boys, Parramatta, they started quite slowly, and this is what Brad Arthur had to say in the press conference.
Yeah, our start was poor. I think the games that we've lost this year, we've been beaten to the punch at the start of the game, and we're waiting to see what the opposition's going to do. We need to go after the game at the start. And the games that we start well makes a difference to us. I was happy that we had that fight in us in the second half and we didn't go away from the contest, but against good teams, you give them that much of a start. Well, in terms of the scoreboard, it's very hard to peg back.
So they've had kind of a strange year so far this year. They win one. They have a massive win last week against Penrith. I think the week before that, they had a poor game against the Cowboys, maybe.
Yep.
How do you see them so far this season, Woodsy?
I think when they've had to lift, they've lifted. Like we said, they probably should have won that game against Cowboys. It was their home game, taking up to Darwin there. But they obviously got blown off the park because they probably didn't respect Cowboys enough. But then next week, they copped a fair bit in the media, and they got up for it against Penrith. But then, it's like they're probably heavy favourites to win that game against Roosters, because Roosters haven't been playing probably what we expected from the Roosters this year. And I totally agree. They just got blown off the park. But in saying that, they still had their opportunities. Like, Dylan Brown makes that break in the last 2-3 minutes of the game. If he looks on the other side, he finds Gutho, on support. They score. It makes it, I think it was 31-30 at that time. So they're just letting teams get out too much of a lead, and it's just so hard to draw them back.
Your man Mitchie Moses had a good game, though.
Yeah, he's playing well. I think, Mitchell's on when he runs, and, he set up that first try. I think to see the best out of Mitch, he needs to run more. His kicking game's been phenomenal, and, that's probably what's kept Parramatta in the game with how well he kicks.
Are you telling him that when you ring him 5 and 6 times a week? Or
every time. I said, I don't know why he doesn't run as much as possible, because, mate, honestly, as a big man, when he runs, and he's a very smart football brain too, if he sees what he likes to do is obviously get a wide four, so the play of the ball, and then from the wing, he likes to get a big man caught on the short side, and he takes him on every time of the every day he gets the opportunity. So when he does that, he's on.
Mm. Yeah. They were disappointing. Oh, look, the Roosters were really good, I thought. Sammy Walker was outstanding as well.
I thought one of Kiri's better games.
Angus Crichton had a good game.
Found a bit
of form.
He looked really good, Crichton. Yeah.
So, I think the Roosters were really good. But, I would like to have seen Parramatta back up after last week. It's disappointing they didn't, because, if you want to be regarded in that category with Melbourne and Penrith, you've got to back up against the good teams, and they weren't able to do it. So I think there's a question mark still there.
Back on then the Roosters one. So you talk about Angus Crichton. What's actually happened with his contract there?
Well, that's a good question, Charlie. I thought it was done. I think we all thought it was done, because they had sort of an agreement in place for a 2-year extension, but it looks as though that deal's become a bit bogged down and may not necessarily happen now. So I think we've got to just wait and see how it plays out. But my understanding was they had a 2-year agreement basically in place.
So did he agree on it, or?
Well, I thought they'd agreed on it. I think a lot of us thought they'd agreed on it. But obviously there were some things they hadn't quite agreed on, and because of that, the deal actually hasn't been rubber stamped. So if that's the case, he's, on the market. I'm sure rugby will take a look at Angus Crichton if he can't do a deal with the Roosters, because, it's a World Cup next year and he's a rugby guy.
So we don't want to lose a player like that. He's an Origin player.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't. Other NRL clubs will look at him as well. He's a good footballer.
Well, you look at the Tigers. They're looking for a back row.
Yeah. Something.
Don't we?
Maybe.
Read his mail.
Could be. Next week.
Well, speaking of segments, Benji's not here, but Woodsy, you're going to have a crack at this, aren't you?
Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall.
Oh, Benji Marshall.
Marshall's Law.
Yeah, so these are one of the big shoes I have to fill today, Marshall's Law. And today I'm just going to go with a bloke, Adam Reynolds. You know, I think he's been the buy of the year so far. Just out pips, I think, Chad Townsend. And he's been really good for the Cowboys. Obviously, where they're at the moment. But Adam Reynolds, if you just, you go into Brisbane, Brisbane's one of the biggest clubs in the NRL. They demand success straight away. And what he's done since he's been up there, the game management, it just looks like he's gave everyone around him confidence. You know, they had no Payne Haas, no Capewell 2 weeks ago going into the game against, I think it was, no, it wasn't Souths.
Sharks, yeah, was it?
No, it was Souths, I think. It was Souths.
Yeah.
And no one gave them a hope to win that game. And he just controlled that game, a couple of chips and chases he's been pulling off. And it's like the more pressure that's been on him, the more he's been loving his time up there.
Can I just pick up on something? You said no one gave him a hope.
Oh, I really did.
I tipped them.
Please. Did you tip them with?
I've tipped them every week this year. Oh, I always tip them. I'm Broncos fan.
Good on you, mate. Yeah. Oh, no, I like that you stick solid. You've got to stick solid.
That was 2 years ago.
But he's just...
Is he surprised you with how good he's gone up there, would you, or what?
Obviously, I thought he would have been a loss to South, but I didn't think he'd be this big of a loss to South Sydney and to see how they've been going without him. And I think he just brings so much confidence to the players around him. He's getting the best out of other players. Like, just see him give early ball to Cobbo, you know. Just to see the strike powers that they've got there. Yeah. It's unbelievable how they're
Farmworth's playing as
Herbie
good as
Farmworth, mate, they're so good and so... I love watching the Broncos at the moment because the footy they play, they're some young guys, but he's just getting the best out of everyone around him. Even Billy Walters at hooker. Everyone said a couple of weeks ago, what's he playing there? They've won every game since he's been there.
Did the Broncos ever have a go at you, would you? What? Ever have
Yeah, mate, I've had it every club, if you listen to what you guys write. But look, mate, they're a really good club, and I think they're a club on the rise. And, you know, with the way they're playing, I don't see why they won't be able to give the top sides a shake at the title. The confidence that they're breathing up there, you know, Katoni Staggs, if he makes Origin, goes to the next level, it's crazy how they're going.
Yeah. Oh, they've been very good, very good.
Very good. You don't want to pump them up, obviously, because you go for them. You want to be nice and quiet. But
under the radar.
Under the radar. But it's just for them, like we spoke about Parra, they've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've won, I think, 3 or 4 in a row now. So
4 in a row.
It's funny, like, you know, we talk about coaches before. Kevy was under the pump.
He was.
Prior to that. And since then, it's just been unreal. Good, really happy for him.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of teams in form, the Cowboys, they've now got the second best defence in the competition. They're sitting in, I think, fourth spot at the moment, or third spot, actually, at the moment. Top four. What's their ceiling, boys? What do you think?
I thought they were a chance to top 8 before the season started. I didn't have them in my top 8, but I thought they were a chance. But I think they're a big top 4 chance now. I think a lot of people are sort of waiting for them to fall a bit. But you know what? The next 2 weeks are huge. I think they got Penrith, Melbourne, don't they?
Penrith, Melbourne, Sharks.
So, I mean, if they come out of those 3 weeks with just so they get 2 wins, You've got to say that they're top 4 chances, big top 4 chance if they win 2 of those 3.
The footy they've been playing too, like you can tell, it's got Todd Payton's hands
written
all over it.
Your man, Toddy.
All you blokes are into him at the start of the year.
I wasn't into him.
Tamalolo and all that. And now look, he's getting the best out of him. Jace played only about 40-30 minutes yesterday. No one's writing anything about that.
Would he ever coach you? He didn't coach you in
the
last
year. No, I had Toddy assistant. I played with him at the Tigers. My first year was his last year.
Wow.
It's funny, like he's one of the smartest blokes you play with. And he's a front row. He's got the silkiest hands, but he's really honest. And that's probably what they needed up at the Cowboys. And, you know, I've spoken to him a few times just out of, you know, as a mateship. And he said he's always had the players' support up there. And, you know, I think he probably regrets what he said about Tamalolo last year, but he's getting the best out of him this year. And he always said to me, I remember he said he's got 2 young back rowers that are going to be superstars and he's really excited to coach. And he copped a lot of flack for the Chad Townsend signing, but he's been up.
Unreal. I might have given him flack about that.
Yeah, you might have.
Great signing, though.
He's going well. He's got all the players playing to the best they can. And, you know, they're asking a lot of questions with the ball. And like Charlie said, I think second or third best defensive team in the competition. And that's where you win games. So he's getting the best out of the players he's got up there.
He has a good relationship. He seems to have a good relationship with the young blokes. Like, yeah, he obviously had a great relationship with Mitch and Brooksy at
he won the Tigers 20s competition.
Yeah. And he's doing great with Lukey and Nanai and Tommy Dearden. What they've done with Tommy Dearden is pretty remarkable.
Well, he went up there from Brisbane and I don't think he'd won a game in his NRL career. Yeah. And even when he went up there for the first couple of games, he hadn't won a game. But he's just turned him around. It looks like he's just got all the confidence in the world out of him. And he's such a strong ball carrier. And it's like he coaches to the strength of the players he's got up there. So he's done an exceptional job to see where they are. And, mate, Hemiso Tabuafeto is only just coming back from injury and he's trying to find positions for him. So It just shows you how good as a squad they're playing.
I was going to say, you know you're going well when the hammer can't crack the starting team. I mean, that tells you how good they're going.
And then they can bring Tamalolo off and put Drinkwater at centre or 5'8". And
it was interesting what he was doing with hammer. He brought him on at fullback for a bit. Like, I think Scott Drinkwater had like 10 minutes off near the start of the second half. And then they took Peter Hiku off for a bit as well. Are they just trying to find hammer's position there? Or
100%, Charlie. I reckon they're just sort of just testing out to see what gets the best feel for the side. And it seems you're lucky to be able to do that in the games. Mm. You know, obviously they got a few wins under the belt. They had that game in control. So, he's just sort of testing out what fits best for the side and where everyone's going to fit in that best 17 they got.
You just want to get Hammer's hands on the ball, I reckon, because things can happen. He's so quick.
He's an exciting player to watch as well, Reedy. You know, he's one of those guys you pay your money to watch him play. And the more times he's got the ball in hand, I think the better it's going to be for the Cowboys.
I will say this about the Tigers, though. Right, they had a lot of players out. They've got a lot of injuries at the moment. You know, they had, I think there was a list put on social media a little while ago and had all their injuries.
And then in that game, they lost the hooker.
Simkin he got taken. The ambulance came and got him, the paramedics.
Hit the hip straight away. They lost
Luke Brooks.
Half time. They're doing it tough. They've had a couple good wins at Tigers, but they're losing players at the wrong time and, you know, losing Luke Brooks. I thought the combination with Brooksy and Hastings has been unreal. So, they're going to hope Brooks's hamstring's not too bad.
I think they had about 50% of their salary cap is either injured or under an injury cloud at the moment. So, times are tough. And they play the Canterbury on Friday night, which is...
They'll be fired up.
Well, Canterbury will
interim
be.
Interim coach.
After you lose a coach, you get success,
that
don't
is
we?
A fallacy, would you?
What do you mean?
Well, no, it's not accurate.
It is accurate.
It is accurate. I've done my research.
All right. What do you got for us?
So a little while ago, the record was first game after you sack your coach, the new coach won 10 of 24 games.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty terrible.
Almost 50%.
But you're coming from a side that hasn't won many.
Hold on. Since then, Peter Gentle took over at Siebes, didn't he, in Brisbane?
Yep.
Lost 7 or something in a row.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Webster replaced JT. I think he lost 2.
Owen.
Your mate Owen too.
One of the greats.
Josh Hannay. Poor old Josh. He replaced Johnny Morris. Lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, but then we had a good...
Then you turned around, yeah.
I think he won 4 or 5 in a row after that.
And he replaced Greeny a long time back and lost a heap as well. Mm. But Hannay turned around. He's a coach in waiting, Josh Hannay.
Yeah, really good. We had him last year. Real calm. Sort of remind me when we got Ivan Cleary at the Tigers. Just, you know... Doesn't change his persona, win, lose, or draw. Just wants to get the best out of it and coach to the player's strengths. Mm. You know, he comes in and he knows what works best for the team, and that's what he tries to do.
But the point of that is, Charlie, that just because the coach gets replaced, it doesn't mean the team's going to win.
But 10 and 4, if you're winning almost 50%.
Well, no, after that, it's 10 of not 18.
10 of 18.
Yeah. That's more than 50%.
Yeah, it's more than 50%.
Sorry, 10 and 28. 10 and 28, sorry.
So still, though, 50%. Their teams are probably...
10 and 28 is not 50%.
Almost, 30%.
Nearly 35.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good maths, yeah.
And they're probably good. They're probably teams that have lost, 5-6 games in a row?
Exactly. Right. Like, the Dogs are 2-8.
So it does improve your chances, but it doesn't guarantee victory. That's what I'm saying. Tigers fans shouldn't be overly concerned.
Well, as a player that's been through it, you want to just come out and put your best foot forward. Obviously, you're trying to...
When did you do it with JT and Josh Hannay? Didn't work.
Is that to prove that the coach should have been sacked? Or is it to prove
Not to prove it, just to say that we're as a group, we're still ripping in, you know? Like, you can use it as an excuse, but you don't want to.
All right, boys, well, let's finish it off with the Cronulla Sharks. Craig Fitzgibbon, he put Nicho Hynes at fullback. They didn't get the win. They lost to the Raiders 30-10, and this is what he had to say in the postgame.
He's played all right at fullback before, so I thought he was going to do it again.
Yeah.
That's the decision. Braden's done a lot of training with us as well, so obviously very hard for young Braden, who hasn't had a whole heap of NRL halves experience, and we drop him right in it in the space of a week. So there's a bit to get through there, but we definitely didn't combine in the fashion that we had, but also didn't think that our team put us into the players inside and outside them weren't running at the right times, and there was an execution issue there, and I thought there was something wrong there with our combinations.
What did you make of it, Woodsy?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Obviously, the week before, they played with a man down. And then playing on the weekend, I think Canberra had 3 sin bins. And in one stage, they had 11 players on the field. So, for me, it looked like they just the cohesion in the attack, like Fitzy sort of said then. For me, I probably wouldn't have moved Hynes. I think he's been unreal at 7. And his combination with Matty Moylan has been really good. I think they've got a young... He played in the Aussie Sevens, Lachlan Miller.
Oh, Lachlan Miller, yeah.
So, and I think he's the backup fullback. And just, I thought they just lost their way a bit. If you're watching the game, I think they played a lot of sideways footy. They weren't, like Fitzy said, blokes weren't running to the right holes. They weren't playing straight. You got two great hole runners in Teague Wilton and Britton Okoroma that hold up their defenders every time. And it gives the opportunities to the outside men, you know, Siva Talakai, who's been reaping the rewards this year. So it looked like they're just, and then they're getting a bit frustrated. You know, Wade Graham came onto the field. He sort of sparked them a little bit, but they just couldn't get that final touch, the final icing of the cake. So, yeah, I think as a person looking outside in, they'll probably keep Nicho Hynes at seven this week, I reckon. Just his leadership and direction that he's been having on the field, it's been unreal for them, and it's just sort of kept them straight and nice and calm, whereas Trindle's only been playing about 5 minutes to 10 minutes this year in the five games he's played. It's hard for a young kid to come in and steer the ship like that.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I thought Nicho's been going so good in the halves, but I don't think it would have mattered. I think they were so off.
Do you reckon from the week before, we're playing with two men down? Well, obviously
might have sucked
one
the juice out of them a bit. Yeah,
such a high emotional after the game. It was one of the best wins in Cronulla's history. To back that up, it's always a hard thing to do.
Yeah, they made a lot of mistakes and they just didn't look the same. So it probably did take a toll on them, Woodsy, to be fair. I mean, you play with 11 men for that long, or 12 men for that long, and 11 men at one stage, it's going to suck a lot of juice out of your legs, basically. So they looked like a bit of a tired team, didn't they?
Yeah.
Bit of a flat team.
They had a lot of possession too. I think there was one stage they had 60 times they were tackled in the opposition 20-metre line. So
we should give Canberra a rap, though.
Oh, I thought Canberra incredible. The way they defend, I thought their two big men at the start, Papali and Tapine, both their milestone games, I think 150 and 200. I thought those big men were enormous. But when they went off the field, I was like, oh, here we go. They could be a chance of, you know, falling back into the old ways that what's happened with Canberra. But then Horsburgh off the bench was awesome. And I think young kid Zach Wolford on debut, he played really well and set up a match-winning try. So he's a good fellow. I played him at Canterbury. And, so happy for him just the way he played.
And they won two games with no Jack Whiten too. Jack's been suspended for both games. They won them both.
I didn't even think of that, really. Yeah. He's been
pretty remarkable.
Unbelievable. And then you throw in Fogarty, Hodgson haven't got there. So
Well, Fogarty's getting close to coming back, I think. Yeah, he's not that far away. So
he was there at the game, looked like he was moving around well. Yeah. So if they can get that little bit more of a leader to help Whiten out when he does come back, I think they'll be able to knock a few teams off that obviously people wouldn't probably pick him to do.
Well, they're back in the mix now because you win two games in this comp and suddenly you're back in the mix, aren't you? And
so close.
Ricky was under the pump 2 weeks ago and you could see how much he enjoyed it on the weekend. Ricky's so passionate.
Oh, he was riding him home at the end of the game on the sideline. That's what you want to see, your coach getting right behind your side. Yeah. So it shows you how hard the industry is to be involved in.
Yep.
And Dale Finucane, there's no news yet on the severity of that concussion, is there?
Well, I noticed he spoke after the game. I didn't go in the sheds, but I did see, or he might have gone to the press conference because he's captain, obviously. So
I think Wade Graham did the press conference.
Oh, Wade did the press conference. Yeah.
He was wobbly, but like,
he was. And
that's
he's had a history.
So you know how Wado, he had to miss, I think, we had Wado for first 6-7 rounds and he got that one against, I think it was the Dragon? No, Penrith. It was Penrith when we played them in Origin period. It's about round 12. He had to miss 6 months, I think, or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Does Dale go down that?
Well, I don't think this was as bad. It didn't look as bad. And as I said, Dale spoke in the sheds after the game, so they mustn't be too concerned about him because you would have thought if they were really concerned about him, he wouldn't have spoken.
He had one against Melbourne 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And this one, it wasn't one where they just stayed down. He got up and he was wobbly-legged, couldn't get up to start.
And the issue is he's had him in the past
he's
as well.
He's had a lot. So.
You know, so I don't know whether Dale, whether they pull him out the firing line for a couple of weeks just to give him a rest.
What's the protocol? Do you know the protocols, Ricky, at all?
Well, there's no time frame. There's no set stand-down period in the NRL. Okay. You just got to pass your you need to see an independent doctor, and you just need to pass your test. If you pass your test, he could play next week.
Okay.
Sharks have also lost, I think, 3 of 5 now as well. And you kind of see when they get a couple of injuries, they haven't really, like, the depth's not great at the Sharks.
Yeah, I think they've got a really good 17, Charlie. Obviously, Will Kennedy's been their best player in the last 2 or 3 years, and you lose a lot of strike with him out the back, and that's probably the position that they probably are unsure about, like putting Nicho Hynes back there. Obviously, he played really good there for Melbourne, but then you lose Hynes at 7. So, and another big loss that people haven't really spoke about, I think Braden Ueli. Hemlin Ueli has been enormous for them to start the year. You know, they lost Jack Williams early on in the game on the weekend. And then you throw Jesse Remyan, who's also suspended, who's been one of their main strike centres out wide. So, Yeah, they're sort of a bit thin on depth there, and players have got to step up. But yeah, probably to go to the next level, like those, you know, like we say with Penrith and the Melbournes, you know, they've got to probably get a couple of players that go to that next step. You know, every couple of years at a club, there's always those players that come out of nowhere. And, you know, Sifa Talakai, for instance, 18 months ago, was on a training trial there. They can get a couple guys to step up from their juniors, you know, they'll be a big strike.
Well, that's it, boys. That's it for us today on the Monday Scrum. Done. Aaron Woods, filling in for Benji.
Charlie,
you did a great job.
Magnificent performance from Charlie.
Oh, mate, I knocked it on several times. Unreal. Knocked it on several
Career
times.
Career in it, mate. Career. We've all had a knock on, don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, we haven't discussed Woodsy's
I got away with it.
Fame.
Oh, of course. What's going
sure
on there?
Woodsy shot out the defensive line.
Yeah, so all week we spoke about putting pressure on the halves. I've just gone too early, Reed. I've gone before the ball was passed. And
happens to the best of us.
Yeah. And thank God that they saved the try, because I reckon I probably would have been sitting on the bench straight after that.
Yeah.
They should have saved the try, because it was a bloke running from dummy half, so the markers should have had him covered.
Yeah,
they?
But it's my fault too, Reedy. I shouldn't have gone.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to resolve your blame.
I'm honest when I got reviewed too.
You're just trying to put pressure on the half.
Yeah, but you don't go before the ball's passed.
Okay,
Reedy.
I'm trying to help you, mate.
I'm not going to blame anyone but myself, mate. I think it was Moses Embiid saved me, covered my backside big time.
You're a good man, mate.
I own a beer.
Yeah, you do.
All right, well, make sure you tune in next week. We'll have Emma Lawrence and Benji Marshall back from their big Magic Round weekends. And
will Benji get a start again after Woodsy?
I don't know, mate.
Sweet, mate. He's got his own show. He's killing it.
Maybe we just add Woodsy into the mix join in.
That'd be cool. Nice. Once a month, you know, jump in here and there. Might take Reedy's spot. Yeah. Woodsy's mouth.
Oh, yes.
See you next week. Take care.
Thank you.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.